KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have clear skies at 74 degrees. We look forward to be clear to partly cloudy today with a high of 93, a heat index around 102. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. A reminder, a heat advisory continues for most of Iowa, beginning at 1 o'clock this afternoon and running through 9 tonight. Temperatures should reach the lower 90s with peak afternoon heat indices from the upper 90s to as high as 105 degrees. With temperatures that warm, heat illnesses are possible for those active outdoors or are susceptible to heat illnesses such as children and the elderly. The combination of hot temperatures and high humidity will combine to create a situation in which heat illnesses are possible. You should drink plenty of fluids, stay in an air-conditioned room when possible, stay out of direct sunlight, and check up on your relatives and neighbors. If you're spending time outside, reschedule strenuous activities to early in the morning or in the evening, and we wear lightweight clothing and loose-fitting clothing when possible, and of course, drink plenty of water. In area news, the Adair County Board of Supervisors called an emergency session for 2 p.m. Friday to address and accept the resignation of County Attorney Clint Height. In his letter of resignation yesterday, Height said his decision was due to a medical diagnosis. According to Adair County Auditor Mandy Berg, the supervisors intend to fill the seat by an appointment. They have agreed to publish a notice in the paper next week of their intention to appoint. The board will then have between 4 and 20 days to do so. Afterward, the public has the right to contest the appointment, providing it's done within 14 days of the appointment. The Iowa Department of Transportation on Friday reopened U.S. Highway 34 between Interstate 29 and the Nebraska border. The roadway had been closed since late May due to a second round of southwest Iowa flooding. Motorists in the area can expect intermittent lane closures at times as the repair work on shoulders and ditches continues. Other flood-related closures continue on Iowa Highways 2, 275, and 333. Now, the interchange at U.S. Highway 34 is the last southbound exit on I-29 to offer services such as fuel. So if you're traveling south on I-29, make sure your vehicle has enough fuel for the 60-mile trip to the next gas station in Rockport, Missouri. The Iowa DNR says it plans to roll out the non-resident user fee pilot program for Lake Manawa and Waubonsie State Parks in mid-August. Senate File 306, passed by the Iowa legislature this year, established the pilot program. DNR staff will use the month of July to finalize details and order all necessary equipment and signage to meet the mid-August deadline. More information will be announced to the public in late July or early August and will be posted publicly at parks, available online, and sent out to the media in the form of a news release. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers estimates that repairs to flood-damaged levees and other infrastructure along the Platte and Missouri rivers will cost far in excess of $1 billion. Corps spokesman Matt Rabe said the first 61 of 108 projects deemed eligible for federal funding will cost $1 billion. The Corps has received more than 150 project applications, and more are expected to roll in. About 850 river miles were damaged when two rounds of massive floods devastated huge swaths of the Midwest this spring. Officials expect the repairs to take several years. Rabe says the repairs will be funded by the Corps and a special disaster aid. It's unclear how much more will need to be funded by taxpayers. An Iowa-based credit union is now offering an interactive mobile video banking service, for the first time the technology has been available in the state. Gail DeBoer, CEO of Cobalt Credit Union, headquartered in Council Bluffs, said they're premiering mobile video banking as an option for their Iowa clients.
We have a mobile application, so wherever they are, they can go online and work directly with a member and see them face-to-face. And the nice part is they can sign documents. They can do anything you can do in a branch other than get cash.
The service is available to credit union members via smartphone or a laptop. Security is a number one concern, and DeBoer says they've taken every step to ensure the members' data is safe.
The nice thing is you can actually show our representative your ID, so they know for sure that it's you. And that's a nice feature that you don't get over the phone. We have ways over the phone to verify your data, but with this, you just have that additional layer of security.
The video banking offers customers the option of chatting or using the full video app for face-to-face consultations. The official rollout of the service is next Wednesday, July the 3rd, but credit union members can already access it.
We did a soft launch in April just to give our employees a chance to practice with it, get better at dealing with it, and we've seen the numbers just escalate already as people discover this.
Using the app enables clients to perform an array of banking tasks, including secure document exchange, approvals, deposits, applications, and more, all without ever stepping foot in a branch.
We had a member call in from the country of Peru, and he was buying some fine art, and he needed his debit card limit increased, and he was able to see our rep. They were able to verify everything. He was able to make his purchase, and he absolutely loved the convenience.
The feature will not result in the loss of any tellers. To the contrary, DeBoer says they're adding positions for the video service. Cobalt has Iowa branches in Council Bluffs and Denison, with several more in Nebraska. Finally, in state news this hour, a new report by the Iowa State Auditor reveals more than $70,000 in improper spending by a former city clerk in the western Iowa town of Mondamin, as well as more than $80,000 in overbilling by the city for utility services. The report says former clerk Deborah Earlywine improperly paid herself nearly $15,000 from city payroll coffers between 2015 and 2018. The report also found Earlywine made personal purchases, including for groceries, alcohol, medications, and other items, of $3,323 using the city's credit card and nearly $6,700 in direct payment to vendors. The audit also found that Earlywine had failed to deposit nearly $20,000 in city collections and made improper payments of more than $25,000 to the public library and nearly $20,000 to the local fire department. The audit said the overbilling occurred because the city failed to implement procedures recommended by an earlier 2016 audit. In our funeral announcements this morning, Liam James Gearing, the infant son of Ian and Lydia Gearing of Atlantic, died Sunday, July 23rd. A memorial visitation for Liam Gearing will be held today from 10 a.m. to noon at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. James A. Hightoff, age 68, of Audubon, died Sunday at Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. A massive Christian burial for James Hightoff will be this morning at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Aaron Newton, age 44, of Omaha and formerly of Atlantic, died June 22nd at the Cass County Hospital. Memorial services for Aaron Newton will be today at 11 o'clock at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Tom Anderson, age 65, of Greenfield, died Tuesday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. A celebration of life service for Tom Anderson will be this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Randy Allen, age 64, of Carson, died June 17th at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. A memorial service for Randy Allen will be today at 2 o'clock at the Carson United Methodist Church in Carson. Regan V. Funeral Home of Oakland has arrangements. Dennis Denny Studelberg, age 69, of Mitchell, South Dakota, and formerly of Atlantic, died May 28th. A celebration of life for Denny Studelberg will be this evening at 4 o'clock at the Atlantic Golf and Country Club. Friends and family will gather at 4, and there will be a service at 4:30. The family invites friends to stay following the service to enjoy a Hawkeye tailgate party with all the fixings. They ask you to dress in your favorite team attire and join them to celebrate Denny's life. Now, if you're not able to attend the service at 4:30, you can come anytime during the evening. Shirley Ann Jacobson, age 85, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at CCMH. A celebration of life service for Shirley Ann Jacobson will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home, the Atlantic First United Methodist Church, are both assisting the family with the arrangements. Lyle Heminger, age 71, of Harlan, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Dale Heminger will be held Monday at 11 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Dale Allen Haynes, age 70, of Plattsmouth, Nebraska, and formerly of Oakland, died June 12th. Memorial services for Dale Haynes will be on next Saturday at 10:30 at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Elmer Lenny Pruitt III, age 41, of Messina, died Wednesday at his home in rural Messina. Services for Lenny Pruitt III will be held at a later date. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.